Father, we thank you because of your grace. Lord, we thank you because by your mercy alone you have taken us through the first half of the year. And Lord, by no effort of ours, you have brought us into the second half of the year. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Blessed be your name, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we come today, full of expectation, full of gratitude, full of an encounter, full of a heart that desires you, Lord, we want your message of love, a message for us, a message from above, a message, O God, that you see and is true, and it will walk to your glory and produce a change, produce an impact, produce a result, produce your intervention, and produce your grace upon our lives for the remaining half of the year and the days of our lives in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, minister your power, minister your wholeness, minister your unction, minister evil doing, and minister in fullness of your grace and every other power that is in contention with your grace. We discard in the name of Jesus. Let your message ring through and let the power of the Holy Spirit incubate us now and fill us from heart, the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. Make us whole and let your message ring. In Jesus' name we pray. And let everyone say amen. Amen. Say amen again. If you truly are grateful that the Lord has seen you through the first half of the year, praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Give him praise. And give him honor. And give him adoration. And give him all that is worthy of honor and truth and thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ. You didn't contribute a kobo. Men, women, mightier, wealthier, wiser than you and I have gone. Children in the womb, some a day old, have gone. Look at you and I. And some of us, when the year started, you were wondering, will I be able to last a month? A number of problems, challenges, right, left, and center. Ill health, calamities, news. And truly, as the Lord did tell us, a year full of subtleties of the enemy. He never will come frontally. All the same, he will come like a roaring lion. And he says, be on the watch. And in each of them, near misses. Many of the accidents. Many that would have been bloodshed. Many close shaves. Many frontally with armed robbers with guns. Many on the highways. Many also on the airways. Here you are. The Lord's mercy has preserved you. Blessed be the name of God in the name of Jesus Christ. If God has kept you and I up till now, it is because he hasn't finished with you. Hallelujah. It is because you are still of value. Amen. It is because he still has a covenant, a pact with you, which you and I will fulfill. And that's why we are singing that there's a message from above. If only you look, listen, you will leave. And the Lord will cause you and I to yet go further with him, deeper with him, stronger with him, and experience his blessings in multiple folds in the name of Jesus. We're looking again for a while at where we read the lesson, the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 9. We're looking at the topic, compassion for the lost. Compassion for the lost. Last Wednesday, we looked at love for the lost and love to the uttermost. And we're looking at compassion for the lost. They are saying the same thing. They're just saying the same thing in a slightly different way. Because compassion embodies love and every other thing. Not just love, but love with action. And so we look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted, because they lacked direction, because they were helpless and hopeless. That's what another version said. And we are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was not only moved with compassion, with feelings of empathy, with feelings of sympathy, with feelings of trying to just see if only these people could get better, if only they could do better. That was not enough. Every form of compassion that is burdened in love always reaches out to action. Compassion is not compassion until it has been followed by action that produces a result towards the object of compassion. And so as Jesus looked, every other person looked, and they saw multitudes, but that was where they stopped. Every other person looked, and they saw friends, families, classmates, workmates, and that was where they stopped. Every other person looked, they saw names, they saw titles, they saw positions. They only looked ephemerally. They looked at the outward. They looked with the human eye. They just looked as those who had come into another day by mistake. And so because we are here today, so they looked. And they could not see what they were not prepared to see. But Jesus, when he looked, he saw something different from what others who were not burdened with compassion saw. He saw helpless, hopeless, fainting, lacking direction, and as we'll be told in Ephesians, without hope in the whole wide world. And as Ephesians will also add in Ephesians chapter 2, around verse 10, 12, without God in the world. They just lived because it was daylight. And they would go to bed because darkness had come. They just moved because the majority were moving. And they sat because it was time to sit down. Many had no opinion of their own. They would have opinion on a few things. They would have opinion on what to eat, perhaps. And some would have no choice but to eat just what they saw. Most had no opinion on eternity. They had no opinion on what mattered more than what they saw. Jesus saw them. Even though they were full of themselves, even though they seemed seemingly well made and fed, the love that Jesus saw them with made him see them that truly they had no direction, sheep without shepherd. They were loud. They were boastful. They were people who were seemingly well to do. They are people who are intelligent and bright in the class. They were schemers, clever. They were people who knew how to wangle their way in any issue of life. They were people whom we are of reckon. But their true nature was that they had no direction. They had no guide. And they didn't see beyond their noses. They only saw for now and for where they were. When Jesus saw this, compassion took place for them. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is what? Plenteous. The harvest really is what? Plenteous." And when the Bible uses the word plenteous, especially King James, it says there's no other way to quantify it. It's like Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 that says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. In other words, it's like there's no English word to equate to that. And three words that mean exactly the same thing were put there to just tell you there is nothing God cannot do if only you can get yourself to him. And so that's why Jesus also allowed this phrase. The harvest is really what? Plenteous. He would have said the harvest is much, but you and I would just use our finite mind and say, okay, it's much. More, much, most. And he would have summarized it. Jesus would have said the harvest is big. And you will find the ready adjective. You say, big, bigger, biggest. And you will be right. Jesus would have said, the harvest is huge. And you say, okay, I know a qualifier. And the more you know it, the more comfortable you get. You say, I know what you know, master. Huge, huge, hugest. Even if it's never in the dictionary. And so Jesus used this word. The harvest is truly plenteous. Agokata abawa. That's what it means in Igbo. You can't count it. You can't ever finish counting it. This harvest is plenteous. And not only is it plenteous, the laborers are few. Who are the laborers? Who is the laborer?
A laborer is a man, a woman, who is ready to put his hand on the job. Is that not so? The basic definition of being a laborer. A laborer is a man or a woman who is ready to put his hand on the work. Take his feet to the place of work. Is that not a laborer? A number of times you hire a laborer to do what? To do some of the things you cannot do by yourself. To cut your grass. To maybe make a mound. To maybe cultivate. Those things that when you do them, they require active energy. And they also require commitment. You don't become a laborer and you are passive. Those things that require that you are right there. You roll up your sleeves. You roll up even your trousers. But you, have you ever seen a laborer who came to you? You have gone to Obomano and hired one. Obomano is about Nike Junction. And as he was coming in his best Christmas dress. Baba Rega. He will do like this and put the other one like this. He said, my friend, where are you going? Ah, you called me. I'm coming to work for you. And he has his best shoes. And the kind of shoes that as you are looking at the pair of shoes, you can see your face reflecting there. He has a very well-made cap. Whether it's Shagari or Babangida or whichever type of cap, he has it. In short, he decided to appear in the very best attire. And you ask him again, where do you say you are going to? He said, I'm going to work for you there. What would be your next question? In this attire, you're not prepared. Even when a laborer dresses as it were, ordinarily, by the time he gets to the place of job, what does he do? He changes into work clothes. Jesus is saying, there are many in the church. There are many here. There are many believers. There are many Christians. There are many who say they are born again. There are many who have caught the light. But in terms of what heaven is looking for, they are not willing to jump into the fray. They are not willing to go in and soil their reputation, in quote. They are not willing to just lose their dignity. They just don't want anybody to insult them. They don't want anybody to say, are you also among them? They don't want anybody to say, look, oh, so you say you're born again and you've been here. No, they just want to maintain their dignity. They want to just stroll in and stroll out. And because they are full still of themselves, they can't see beyond to what is the true picture of others around. Are you a laborer? Are you a woman, a man who is maintaining his status? That's the opposite. It's because you can't cut the grass that you are calling for who? A laborer. Is that not so? That's the reason. That's why you will employ somebody to help you hew the wood, fetch the water, clean the places. The man who is ready to get into the fray. And Jesus said, there are many Christians. There are many who believe in me. There are many who are called by me. And there are many who are in high and important positions. There are many whom I have made. But I look for laborers, they are what? Few. Few. And when he says few, contrast plenteous to what? Few. You can see the wide gap. And so Jesus went into action. He's not a one who sees a need and leaves it out. And just says, well, let somebody do it. He said in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. To do what? That he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Praying, burden, sensitivity, so you can see beyond yourself, my dear. So you can see beyond your fullness. So you can see beyond your self-centeredness. So you can see what the ordinary eye doesn't usually see. So you can see the vacuum behind even the seemingly well laid out exterior. So you can see the heart. So you can see the need. Pray so your sensitivity can open. So some people would have said, thank God, I've been praying. Nobody who is enlisted in praying with a burden remains the same. Nobody who is enlisted in praying for any issue remains folding hands and legs. The prayer changes you, the prayer prepares you, and the prayer makes you sensitive, and the prayer makes you available for use. And so is it any wonder that as the same Jesus was telling them, this is the condition, this is the situation. Many are languishing. Friends around you, family, classmates, superiors, inferiors. Is there any other one? Interiors, exteriors. These are the language. Many are languishing. No direction, no hope. Number one. Number two, they are plenteous. Another version says they are ready for harvest. Ready for harvest. Ready. It only requires a laborer to go in and do what? Harvest. Pluck the fruits. And he says, do you know how that can be done? Begin to pray. But when you begin to pray, it is those who have the burden to pray that will usually go first. So look at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 10. When he had called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Look at verse 7 of that same Matthew chapter 10. What else did he say there? And as you go, do what? Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, is it any wonder that those who prayed were the same people whom he did what? Sent. Look at Luke chapter 10. So you will find their consistency. So you will find that the message from above is clear. And it's for you and I. And if you will not get up to go, woe betide us that stones will go in our generation in the name of Jesus Christ. We can also begin from verse 1. Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 10 verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Send them two and two before his face into every city and place where he would come. Do you understand that passage? The Lord did what? Appointed 70 amongst multitudes. What does John 15:16 say? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you may go forth and bring forth much fruits from the harvest, and that your fruit may do what? Abide. Then you shall ask anything in my name of the Father, and it shall be done unto you. That's the condition. Many of these things have their conditions. Some of the times we enter it generally. But the way to get the answers to them is to just do the simple. Obey. And the results follow. No man can be on Jesus' employee with Jesus abandoning him on course of duty. Does he do that? Sure not. Nobody can be sent by the master on an errand and the master forgets his or her need. When they came to him, and there were thousands, and the Bible said he fed 4,000 men. Another occasion he had fed 5,000. This time 4,000 men. And the Bible, according to Jewish history, would always record just the men. But you know that when there is a man, there will usually be who? A woman. And there will usually be young people and children. So they will count only the men, the heads of the houses. So if there were 4,000 men, you would also imagine there would have been maybe 40, 50,000 people there. And for 3 days, they received from him. They ate and drank of his wisdom, his teaching. He fed them spiritually. He energized them. He took them through the tides. He granted them grace to be able to stand. And when it was the third day, he told his disciples, the same words again, I have compassion on these people. They have been with me now 3 days, and I will not send them away empty. lest they faint on the way. Same scenario. Jesus meets your need because of burden and compassion and makes it possible for you to be able to reach out as well. The rest was history. There was a miracle of loaves that fed 4,000 men, and 7 loaves and 7 baskets were also collected of fish. So here again, Jesus appointed. Friend, have you been appointed of him? Have you got a change in life? Have you got a change in the inner heart? Have you been born again? Is there a regeneration in your spirit, man? Does your spirit bear witness with the Spirit of God that you belong to him? If that is the case, then welcome into one of those already ordained by heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a man-made ordination. We have priestly ordination. There are deacons. There are priests. There are those who are preferred, maybe canons, maybe very reverends, maybe venerables, whichever they go by. Those are titles of men. Jesus says, I also do ordination. And that ordination is universal. And that ordination is once and for all. The moment you come unto me with your burdens that are heavy laden, and I give you rest, and I allow a witness of the Spirit in you as I put a deposit that you now belong to me, I ordain you. Praise the Lord. Friend, tell yourself, I am ordained of Jesus. That is if you are, really. That is if you are. Because one of the reasons why the compassion for the lost of humanity, for those who are directionless, for those who don't have the hope that we have, is that a number of times we are a mixed multitude. We are a mixed multitude. That's what the church is. And that is allowable. People at their different stages of walk with God are in the church. And nobody should be pushed away. And nobody is pushed away. The only problem is that when somebody continually remains at the door as a kettle, instead of in the altar as a vessel of honor, that's the way Zechariah describes it, then there's a problem. You can come in from the door and you are washed and you are made whole, made clean, and then sent out according to what Jesus is doing here. That's the right order. But when you are in the church and you remain the same, you hear the message, after a while, you get a hard back. You get a hard heart. You get hardened. So hardened that the gospel that can break even a rock will pass over you and you just say, this way, that way. Down, up. That's what your heart is saying. Direct that one. Direct that one. And friend, you've become a conductor in a car and a vehicle that stops people at different destinations, but you don't have a destination. You never have a stopover until the car decides to rest for the end of the day. That's what many are in the church. And some may be here. That's the reason why, the basic reason, why compassion, the love that reaches out in action to others who don't have what joy you have, doesn't exist. So look at yourself, friend. You may be in church. Thank God you are in church. You may be here. Thank God you are here. You may have been for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 6 years. Maybe as long as this chapel has been. Perhaps if you have been here for 10 years, as we celebrate by September, thank God for you. But I ask you a question. Do you have the witness of the Spirit that you are a child of God? Has anything changed in your life when and assumedly since you encountered Jesus? Or have you learned the language of church? Have you learned how to say, hi, brother? Have you learned how to say, how are you, sister? Have you learned to say, praise the Lord? And then put your tone in a different way. Have you learned how to say, the Lord has done it again? You have learned all the language. You have acculturated, but the nature is still the same. May the Lord have mercy on you and break through that life today in the name of Jesus. That is the primary reason why compassion is not there. You can't give what you have not received. You can't give what you have not gotten. You cannot dispense what you have not got within you. It is the measure of what you have that you can show forth outside. So if you are part of the mixed multitude, about you today, Jesus has made an appointment. Jesus is on the way of making an appointment. I pray you enter that appointment today in the name of Jesus. Get into his fold. And please don't be shy about it. Because you'll be there and you will miss out. And God is no respecter of persons. Not at all. By any means. And so Jesus appointed the 70. And as he appointed them, he sent them two by two before his face to every what? City and place. Every city and place. Look at the definition of every city and place. Look at the intention he had. Look at the end of that verse 1 of Luke chapter 10. Whither he himself would come. In other words, if Jesus put you here in Park Lane, Jesus put you there in Owani, Jesus put you there in the bar, Jesus put you there retired, Jesus put you there Transekulu, Jesus put you there as a student, and you have been born again, and you have got the love of Christ shed abroad in your heart by the same Holy Ghost that gave you a witness that now you're a child of God. Jesus says, I have an intention that the moment you are there, I will also do what? Come there. Are you understanding? I have an intention that once you are in that office, I have an intention that once you are in that lab, that once you are in that theater, that once you are in that marketplace, that business center, once that is where you are found on a continual basis, the reason why I sent you there is that I also want to come there as well. Praise the Lord. I want to come. I want you to be a herald. I want you to be one who announces me. Prepare the place. Prepare the heart so that I can come. Once you are there, change is available. Once you are there, joy is available. Once you are there, freedom is available. Once you are there, the sheep without shepherd will have direction. Can you see it? Deliberate. So friends, some of us who are in this school and wondering, why did I come to a suit? I should have been in LUT, Lagos State University Teaching Hospital. And some people say, hey, why am I in UNTH? I should have been in which other place will somebody wish to be now? Okay. Othman Damfodio University Teaching Hospital. Is that not what you wish to be? But I'm giving you an example. In other words, whether you're in that class, whether you're in that place, working place, business office, many of the times, in order for us to lose focus and not develop a burden for where God has asked us to be for the period, we usually desire we were in some other place. Is that not what is happening to many of us? You hear news. You say, hey, they have promoted the people in that area. I heard that the people in federal civil service, they use a basket to collect their money at the end of the month. Then somebody will say, I hear that people who are in Enugu State service, they have started giving them one kind of lawee like that. There will always be something to hear. There will always be a better place to prefer. And as English say, the grass usually seems to be greener where in your neighbor's vineyard. The one in your own is not green enough. And so it is always greener in your neighbor's vineyard. And so when we are small, I played that prank too. You will always keep wondering what kind of soup they have cooked in your neighbor's kitchen. And for people like us who played pranks, sometimes I would jump through the fence to go into their pot of soup and take meat. And then sometimes you discover that the soup was more bitter than what you had ever tasted in your place. But that's what's happening to many of us. That's what's happening. You're an engineer, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a student, you're a contractor, you're a business person. You wish you were something else. And Jesus has met you in the state where you are. And in Romans chapter 11, he says, let everyone remain, 1 Corinthians 7, let everyone remain in the state in which he is. Make the most of it. I will use you there. It's not where you are that is the issue. On human level, it is what you will do when you are there. When you are put there and you have known me, I have an intention of coming there. Because you are there and you matter and you do the work, I will come there also. The light will lighten the place. The change will come. Have you ever looked at what you are doing in that sense? Have you ever looked at it in that sense? Have you been filled with complaints, murmuring? I'm busy. That's another excuse. I'm busy. I just want to get out of here. In short, where you are now, you are writing two or three other different applications. It's not wrong to write applications to better your status. But make the most of where you are. Jesus sent them to every city and place deliberately where he intended to come. How long have you been where you are, my dear? How long have you been on your streets? How long have you been in your neighborhood? Have they known anything else about you? Apart from the fact that every Sunday you enter the car, you go somewhere they don't even know. After a while, you come back. Sometimes you manage and say there's one fellowship, men or women. And maybe when you come back, it's late in the evening, nobody even knows. Is that all they know about you? Is that all your identity? Is that all your mark? Why are you on that street? Why are you in that hostel? Why are you in that room? Have you pondered this is what Jesus is saying? Friends, develop that key burden and let the compassion lead you to action in the name of Jesus Christ. And so when he did that, verse 2 of Luke 10, he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then what did he say in verse 3? What began verse 3? Go. When you catch now a burden, a vision, an understanding of what you are asked to do, and you pray for the enablement to fulfill that role, then the burden lifts you to God, draws his strength. And the next thing he says as you pray is, do what? Go. It's true, you give. Thank God. You will soon see. You've seen it already in the bulletin of the chapel. 82% of all our giving and all our spending this half year, first half year, of the 17 million you saw there, 14.2 million thereabout, about 82% is evangelism, is outreach. Well, thank God it came from the giving of men and women, children and young people like you. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. But the giving is not enough. No. Will money do the talking? Even angels don't preach. Angels have the assignment. Angels don't go to bring the good news to others. If angels could do it, Cornelius would have been well saved long before he was, so to say. But do you know what happened? In Acts chapter 10, from verse 1, the scripture recorded that there was a man, a centurion, called Cornelius, a man who was had in high repute by the Jews. And this man was a good man, devout man, upright man, religious man. That's part of the people we see around and we qualify them in the external. But does he have Jesus? It requires the burden to see that need and to know why you are planted near that man. With all his credentials in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, the Bible told us that he gave alms. And so when they were bearing record, they said, look, he has built a church. He has supported the building of the church. Just like many of us have done here, done at Nome, done at Nara, done at Ubuoka, done in other places. God has helped us. There are about 8 mission agencies we supported within the first half of the year. Yes, you've joined so. But despite all this, Cornelius had not yet received Christ. He had not been free. He was not yet whole. And that's why we said clearly so, that there may be people who are Cornelius in the church. They have Christian names. After all, is Cornelius not a Christian name? Should be, at least, to some extent. They are here. But the fact that you are in the garage does not make you a car in the garage, does it? What should be in the garage is what? A car, a vehicle. But these days, how many of our cars are parked in the garage? The garage is built for the car. But every other property finds its way there. Unused articles. Have they become cars now? That's why you can be in the church and not yet be a Christian. And not yet catch a vision, a burden. And that's why God is addressing you today. Please don't pretend anymore. Don't presume anymore. The sin of presumption. I assume that since I know the language, since I have a Christian term, since I've been baptized, since I've been confirmed, since I have been Let me not say the other one, because the church won't confuse you, but that's what many people do. Since I've been confused. Because I have just assumed that since I'm in the church, my name is in the church register, I am clearly there. No. No. With all that Cornelius had, God found it necessary to send an angel to Cornelius in chapter 10, verse 4, 5, 6, and say, Cornelius, go to Joppa. Ask for a man named Peter. When you reach there and find him, he will tell you what next you ought to do. What did Peter do? He preached salvation to who? Cornelius. Friends, angels do not preach. Angels can only go on assignment. There's only one group of people Jesus has sent to every place he intends to come this second half of the year. And the people whom he has sent us to are already what? Ripe. Ready to harvest. Jesus will say in another passage, I have sent you to where you did not labor. I just sent you to where you will do what? Pick the fruit. Have you bothered to? I hear somebody saying, I am shy. But you have God's answer to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1, 5 to 10. He simply asked, who made the mouth? Who made the mouth? I will be with you. To Moses, we said, I'm a stammerer. He said, I will put my words in your mouth. I will be with you. Is there any other person who says, I'm too busy? I'm too busy. I get out in the morning, and by the time I come back in the night, I'm so weary. I'm so weary that what keeps you busy? I'm asking, my dear. I want you to see the burden. Nobody is too busy to die. Have you ever heard that phrase? The news media flashes it and says, too busy to die. This man, death came. Death came in the morning, he was too busy. Death repeated in the afternoon, he was still too busy. When death came at midnight, death said, look, you're a very busy man, I will leave you for a while. Is that the result? No. That's why people die, collapse on the spot. People die in the airplane. People die by crashes. People die when suddenly, on Thursday when I was going to Ituku, under the rain, around 7 p.m., as it were, I got a call. Somebody from Abuja. And he says, look, I'm devastated. I'm devastated. I just got your number from somebody. And she started. It was at the end she explained, said, I was in Christian Union Enugu campus. Are you still at UNTH? But all through the intervening period, she didn't reveal her identity. She just poured out her burden. He said, I'm confused. He said, I don't know what to believe again. I don't know whether God is still faithful. I don't believe it. For 2 months now, I've not gone to church. I'm supposed to be a born-again Christian. I've been comforted right, left, and center. My twin sister, who lived with me, suddenly died in May. And she had been just married in November. And as she got married in November, by May, she had just taken in. And shortly after, she died. They said it's something ectopic. And since then, I have been wondering. I've not been myself. I've been wondering, couldn't God have saved her? Couldn't God have delivered her? Couldn't God have been right there? Why would God allow her to die when she was just pregnant the first time? Why would God allow her to die when she was just married and we had all rejoiced? So many whys. I was driving. Usually I would have said, please call me back later. But I didn't want to do that. I would lose her. Network was not good, but at least for another 15, 20 minutes, I had to slow down and came to a point where I had to say God was exactly that same story where he was when his only son Jesus died. And there are many whys you have, many questions we don't get an answer readily, but the faithfulness of God remains. And what you are passing through is normal, is natural. That's a grief reaction. That's a denial stage. And after a while, she said, look, I just keep hoping that once in a while, my sister will rise again. They've buried the body already. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that wherever God has sent you, he has prepared the heart there. And he has sent you as an appointed messenger who is fit for the place. Who can deliver the message from above? A message of love, a message of hope, a message of deliverance, a message of liberty. And here we are saying we are too busy. Here we are saying, okay, we can't do this, we can't do that. Here we are wishing we were in another place. Can God change your orientation bring back the burden and make you know what he has made you to be in Jesus' name. So he says, pray. But as you pray, go. Do what? Go. I have prepared the harvest. Friends, the best way of allowing the love of God to reach out from us is by doing what? By letting it touch others. Can I tell you the truth? We've been talking about love since the beginning of the year. Love that hasn't moved you beyond yourself is not love. You haven't yet got it. I can tell you the truth. Nobody has the love of God and remains in the same place and remains at the same pace. No, it's not possible. That's not the love of God. Nobody has gotten the love of God and remains immovable. The love of God sheds abroad in our constrains you, compels you, makes you go beyond yourself, looks out. That's the love that reaches out. And that's where compassion comes in. Compassion simply says love with action embedded in it that touches a life, touches an object. Do you have that? What has been keeping you? Number one, it's possible you are not yet regenerate. You haven't gotten the love of God in the first place. Don't be ashamed. Don't miss it. You were born in a Christian church, in the Christian home. You learned the catechism. You got the confirmation. You started attending a church where you enjoyed, to some extent, the mode of worship. That's a good excuse. But today, allow the love of God to reach you. Tell him, Jesus, I want to truly have your love in my heart that can live out and share to others. Then you can truly have the burden to reach out. Have you already experienced the love of God and you have each time squashed it? Do you know the reason? Let me just kukuma remain myself. Just watch myself. Just think only about myself. Let me kukuma. People have hurt me before. Is that so? And so by remaining yourself, they won't hurt you anymore. There's an assignment from the master. The more you reach out, the more you flow out, the more you get the message of God on your account in the name of Jesus Christ. And the more you harvest his grace. We talked about Matthew 28 verse 20 on Wednesday. He says, go and preach the gospel to every creature, to all, everywhere. Mark 16:15 will say, preach to everyone and everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. Preach to everyone. Don't hold back. Jesus wants to come into that life, into that office where you have been to. And friend, God so loved that he did what? He gave. What did he give? The greatest he had. He gave a gift. Friend, show me your love, James will say, and I will show you the faith that follows it in action. Do you really love your friends? Do you really love your family? Do you really love those whom you work with? Are you sure? Is it not just that you say, I don't even know why I was found in this same office with these people. Why am I here? Why am I here? God, promote me out of here. God, post me. I'm already praying for my posting. You're there for 2 years. You've been praying for 2 years for posting. Nothing else tangible. Is that why God put you there? Do you really love them? Do you really have that burden? Do you really know or feel that they are perishing? Because I want to be true, and it's true. Please, can you get us that projection on what happens in the life of a Christian and why he cannot hold back? Do you really have a belief that there's hell and that whosoever is not in Christ is going to hell? You may not be alone in not believing. Let me give you a statistics. You can put it off for now. Let me give you a statistics. There was a survey conducted some years ago in U.S., at least where they can keep some records. We don't have much of record keeping here in our part of the world. Look at the result they got. 58% of those who said they were Methodists. 60% of those who said they were Episcopalians. Episcopalians are equivalent of Anglicans. 54% of those who said they were Presbyterians. 35% of those who said they were Baptists. And 22% of those who said they were Lutherans after Martin Luther denied that there was a specific place called hell after death. Did you hear what I said? Majority of those going to church When they were sampled, say, look, there can't really be hell. There can't really be hell. It's there in the Bible all the same. But they are going with modern theology. What does modern theology say? Modern theology says, oh, a loving God could never ever subject anyone to such a punishment. Have you heard that argument before? Have you been using it yourself? Have you begun to already imbibe it, and that's why there's no action on your part? God is so loving. God is so loving. How can he allow anyone to go to hell? Then he's not a God of love. Yes, he's a God of love, but he's also a consuming fire. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. He's a God of mercy, but he also brings justice. He has all the attributes. When he tells you the way to go and you go your own way, he will be left with no other option than to bring God the punishment that he has also reserved. If human beings could punish, then why not God? Have you ever reasoned that way? If human beings could correct, then why not God? So, that's what the theology we have. In short, that's what many of us act out. The reason why you've never opened out to another person by your right or left, why you've never opened up to that friend or family, is because you don't really believe there is hell. That there's hell where people go to eternally. Maybe you believe in a way. The Buddhists, the Hindus have a concept of hell. They say hell is one of the phases where you go to. And after you have acquitted yourself well, then you are allowed to come out from that phase. Then you can go to other phases. Is there anything that looks near to it in our environment? Purgatory. When you die, we'll say masses for you. We'll pray for you. Massive prayers. Massive, massive prayers. We'll give huge money. And as those who are living pray for the person that has already died and gone. Then after a while, when the mountain of prayers reach much, and the level of goodness outweighs the badness, then the person will suddenly be allowed of God to do what? Transport out of purgatory, gateway to hell, and transport into heaven. What does that do to somebody? There's really no serious place called hell. You can really live anyhow and not really pay the price. You don't really need to bother about salvation or being born again, because once you die, there will be a lot of prayers, and those who have a lot of money will beat their chest. Beat their chest and say, look, we'll pray you out, we'll pray you out. We'll pray you out from there. And so maybe that's their mentality. Church going, people say they don't believe there's hell. Friends, in more than 162 scriptures in the New Testament, hell was being warned of. In over 70 of these passages in the New Testament, Jesus himself spoke about hell. Jesus himself. Jesus spoke about hell more than any other topic in Scripture. Jesus spoke about hell more than heaven. Why? To warn people. To tell them you are lost, you are hopeless, you are helpless, you are heading to eternal damnation. Come out! And we are more righteous than Jesus. And we take it easily. We maintain our status. We don't have any skin pain. We can coexist with anybody. For 1 year, they never know our identity. They've never heard that Jesus says from us. They've never seen you enter their body and relate it to what Christ can do if their life is changed. You're just the goody-goody. Mahatma Gandhi said, look, I believe in the Jesus who is a teacher. I don't believe in the Jesus who is a savior because of the lifestyle I see those who are called Christians live. Mahatma Gandhi had a chance to be a Christian because he was in South Africa. And look at India, which he founded as a continent, their father figure, what they would have been today. Just like a number of us. Do you have a burden? Do you believe there's hell where anybody who is not born again is heading to? And that is eternal. And that is eternal. And that it doesn't end. If you do, friend, you won't keep short anymore. You won't remain unconcerned anymore. You won't hold back anymore. Get out and go. You've prayed enough. The God of harvest is ready to surprise you in the name of Jesus. And let us obey him. Let us obey him. Can I tell you the truth? The way I know in the scripture, we just quoted John 15:16. You have not chosen me. I chose you. I ordained you. I appointed you for one reason. To go and do what? Bring forth much fruit. Why are you born again? To bring others to the light. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. A chosen generation. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. Peculiar person that had never existed before once you give your life to Christ. And he put the condition there. That you may show forth the praises of him who has called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. How do we do it? By silence? By non-committal? By saying let them do it? There's a reason. And Jesus put a conditionality there. He says, as you go bearing forth much fruit, ask the Father in my name. Friends, there are a number of things that are still eluding you. I'm not saying the moment you begin to go, you will just have it. Those who don't have money, they will have it. Those who don't have umbrella, they will have it. No, that's a simplistic method. But there's an attachment. Obey! That Matthew 28:20. When you have done 18, it says, go into all nations, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. What is the end? And lo, I am with you always. That verse is conditional again. You don't just have God always with you. Huh? When you are sinning, he's with you. When you are everywhere, no. He says the condition in which I am with you always is when you are going. Did anybody hear me? Go, and lo, I am what? With you. Have you been craving God's presence? Are you dry? Are you falling down? Are you neither here nor there? Go. Go. Open your mouth. Speak out. And you will feel the fullness of God's presence. That's when the gifts follow. Mark 16:20 says, they went everywhere preaching the word, and God confirmed their word with what? Signs following. Don't pursue signs. That's what many of us do. That's why you are here, and you are in another place tomorrow. That's why you are here, and you give money for questions to be asked for you. That's why you are here, and you patronize all kinds of remedies. He says, no. Once you go, the signs will follow. I've experienced it. Mommy just came back from Ikwo and said, look, God overtook me. That's one of the experiences I found in many rural areas. And many times, it's good to go into the rural area. I love it. Very sincere heart, open heart. Some of them may be hard-hearted. Some may have gone into all kinds of things. But luckily, they have not been immune though, like those of us who are in the town, by inundation of messages. And so once you get their heart, they are there. Signs follow you. So why are we bereft of power? Why are we sitting where we are? Why are our lives boring, humdrum? It can't even excite you. Talk less of exciting the next person around you. Friends, go. Enough of complaint. Enough of sitting by. May the Lord surprise you in the name of Jesus. May he surprise you with the harvest that are waiting. And can I tell you, you don't go on the Lord's errand and he leaves you empty. Not in his character. We mentioned Philip. Because of time, we'll just paraphrase his story. Philip was found first in Acts chapter 6. Choose among you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and faith of good report, whom we appoint to do what? Serve tables. Kenny, with all the Holy Ghost. Some of us say, look, we are too anointed to just go and talk. We're waiting for our ministry. We're waiting for where they will invite us to preach. And then some people will say, put my name in your... Why don't you people put my name in your program? Put my name in your program now. And so I can come and demonstrate the power of God. Anybody who tells you that has no substance. Especially student fellowships. I interact with them a lot. And somebody says, look, you people don't call me to come and minister to you. Anybody who is in that is ministering himself. Anyone who is called of God doesn't have the nerve to say that. God searches him out. And may you be the person in the name of Jesus Christ. And so get out and get the job done. Philip started with serving tables. Because his heart was right, simply faithful there. When is we find Philip? Acts chapter 8. A revival had broken out in Samaria. And who was at the center of revival? Philip. Philip was now preaching. Why? The Bible said the big man, the statesman, the church council, the chapel council, those who have been in the Lord for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, they sat in Jerusalem. They adjudicated over cases. They dispensed justice and punishment. And they founded for themselves a new assignment. The master says, go! The instruction is go! Can I tell you, friend, there is no office you occupy in the mundane, secular, or religious, that once it cuts your edge to be a witness for the gospel, then your life is in danger. Your witness is in danger. Can I repeat myself? Any office you occupy, either you are rising in your profession, or you are increasing in the number of years you are in the university, 3rd year to 4th year, 5th year to 6th year, whichever one it is, 6th year to 8th year. Is there an 8th year now? Some will never wish it is. Or in the church, and your ability to go and speak out and tell the people the reason for the hope in you is being curtailed, you are in a dangerous situation. Remove the excess. They are not important. Hallelujah. Because there won't be any account to you. Many have got many good things of life. Heaven hasn't recorded anyone from you. And so Luke 15 verse 7, we say, hey, so likewise do the angels in heaven rejoice over every sinner that does what? Repent. Don't they take reckon through whom the repentance came? Sure they do. You may be tent on the chain, but they do. The same Luke 15 verse 10 will say, likewise the angels rejoice. Not when you've bought cars, good enough. Not when you've built an exclusive mansion, good enough. Not when you married, good things of life. You've gotten a long sought for child, good enough. But none of them is enough to excite heaven. Have you excited heaven throughout this year? Have you excited heaven throughout your time of being born again? And he says, I have appointed you to go to where I intend to come. May you be enabled to dispense that in the name of Jesus. And so we see Philip rise from serving table to revival in Samaria. Wonders and signs being done. When the disciples and apostles heard of it, they now sent Peter and John to do a follow-up. But because God had found Philip, where did we find him again? Go to the deserts in Azotus. Philip became an evangelist, the first evangelist in Africa, an Ethiopian eunuch, got born again through a man who was ready and available. Was not among the first 12. He just made himself available for God. And got him. Some of us who say, I don't know what to say. The Bible says in Acts 8:35, from that passage, Philip preached to him Jesus. With your life, you preach to him who? Jesus. John 9:25, the man who was born blind. They asked him many theological questions. Tell us, that man who made you well, was he a saint or a sinner? Was he a prophet or a compromiser? Tell us, you must know his theological background. The man said, I don't understand this grammar. I don't understand this grammar. I don't understand many things. Only one thing where I know. One thing where I know. Once I was blind, now I see. Whether a sinner or a saint, whatever other English you are blowing, what makes you return, I don't know. I have a personal testimony. Do you have a testimony? Why don't you share it? Why would you touch another life if you prayerfully dispense it? Why are you hiding it? May the Lord deliver us from that in the name of Jesus. Love is not love until it reaches out. And the greatest manifestation of love is that it reaches out to somebody else who cannot otherwise offer you anything. Who cannot do anything in return. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. That's the story when you preach to somebody who doesn't have anything spiritually to offer you back. So friends, let's invest. From being a revivalist to being the first evangelist and African, we now find Philip in Acts 21. The Lord has blessed Philip. Philip had not only gone through being an evangelist, he had become a prophet. And God had blessed him with 4 daughters who prophesied. What better household could he have? You don't go on the Lord's assignment and he abandons your task. Seek ye first the kingdom, that's salvation, and his righteousness. Let his righteousness reach others as he has reached you. Those needs you have, Matthew 6:32, God knows you have need of them. All these other things, he will do what? Add. Can I give you a challenge? You may say it's a foolish challenge. I have found it work. Many of us say we are looking for a job. Many of us say we are looking for life partners. I don't know how you are looking anyway, but you should be praying and you should seek counsel. But let's take job. You don't have a job? Fine. Begin to speak to one soul after the other. You don't speak to so many souls, God will say, this one is busy in my vineyard, I will be busy in her vineyard. Watch for your employment letter, it will come in the name of Jesus. Watch for a rare opportunity where somebody says, look, where are you from? Say this. What did you read? Agric economics. Fishery management. Okay. I have a fishery. Do you care to come and manage it? Go out. Preach. You don't go on the lost tour and he abandons you. I can assure you of that in Jesus' name. And the other miracles follow. But friends, may we see compassion and may we act our compassion. Let's look at that projection, then we end. Then we have no excuse in order to remain where we are and reach out in love. Look at the natural lifestyle of somebody who goes from the point where he's born again. Initially, look at where we all are. Unregenerate, not born again, egoistic. You're looking only for yourself, looking out only for your life, looking out only for the things that concern you. That's all that matters to you. Me, myself, and I. And if you want to add, my family, that's the only fourth addition there. Everything in life is looked at with the prism of what will it bring me. That's where we are. Anybody who is still here and has no burden for another, not even the general love we are talking of. Friend, I ask you, ask Jesus, change me. Ask him for that point that calls, that whoever calls on him will be saved. The moment you get salvation as you hear the gospel, and Romans 1:14 says, I'm ready to preach to the barbarians just as well as I'm ready to preach to the Jews. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Everyone. When the mighty believe it is the power of God. When the low believe it is the power of God. And look at the same place. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How can they hear unless there be someone who preaches to them? And those who preach to them have to be sent. Jesus has already sent you and I to where he would want to come next. So the commissioning is there. So as you hear the gospel, salvation manifests as you believe the gospel. And then new creature, you become enlightened. You now become self-interest. What can I do to further my growth and my relationship with God? It's different from selfishness. Is different from self-centeredness. Is self-interest. What can I? Not what can we? Not what can they? Not preach to them. It becomes you. What interest do I have in the stake? And as the word of God comes to you, your life realizes I'm just an object of mercy. An object of God's love. I didn't do anything to merit it. Romans 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. Who believe? And then we are constrained. That's 2 Corinthians 5:14. We are constrained by the love of Christ. We go beyond our boundaries. And as we do that, we develop empathy. We develop vision. We develop a burden for those who don't know him. And then you do things without looking for gain, for return. You do it because it is by love. You do it because if you don't, they will go to hell. You do it because you have an interest in what happens to them. And as you do it, you have a motivation to evangelize. May the Lord rouse you and I up from where we are today in the name of Jesus Christ. William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, says, for as long as there is one man out there who is a drunkard, I will fight. For as long as there is somebody who goes in and out of prison, I will fight. For as long as there are women who are just ravaged around, I will fight. For as long as there remains injustice and hopelessness, I will fight. For as long as there is a girl out there who is lost in worldly things, I will fight. I will fight on. I will fight on for the gospel. That's a passion that somebody has. Rehan Bonke, whom we know has had a ministry for Africa, said, my only mission statement is to plunder hell and to populate heaven. That's why I live. And some time ago, I came to a point that my heartbeat is to listen to God's heartbeat, win souls, and there is joy in doing it. There's great benefit in doing it. There is fulfillment in doing it. There are signs that come with you in doing it. There is increase in the kingdom in doing it. We believe God for 1,000 personality members in this chapel this year. It will happen in the name of Jesus. It's not by asking you to change church. Change church from Christ Church. Change church from All Saints. Change church from mountain. Change church from valley. Change church from deeper and higher. No. It is by witnessing. In any and every way we witness, and it's possible. Heaven is made glad. Our lives are enriched. Hell is depopulated. Those marching there are salvaged. Will you be willing to see those around you? Friends, relatives, who are looking for a gift from you? What gift have you been giving them? Give them Christ. And let the Lord take the glory in Jesus' name. Shall we bow our heads to pray? The harvest is plenteous. Truly plenteous. The harvest is truly plenteous. Those who are ready to go in are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. That the Lord will convert you to be a laborer. You've been a believer, but he says that you will be a laborer. Heaven doesn't have any place for those who have been in church for 10 years, for 5 years. Heaven has a place for laborers. Are you a laborer? Have you kept short? Tell him, Master, whatever has held me back. You have a reason, my dear. There's a mindset that has kept you where you are. Do you really believe there is hell? Do you believe those who don't have Jesus are going to hell? Why would you be comfortable with people around you and you haven't said anything to them? And here you are, enjoying the mercies and riches of God. And here they are, every day on the continual route to perishing. It can't be if the love of Christ is in your heart. So friend, tell God, whatever impediment, whatever reason, whatever I've had as an excuse, I'm ready to drop them. I'm too busy. God, thank you for making me busy. Make me also busy where heaven reckons with. So I'm not too busy on just my own account. God will divert your attention. Lord, I have no burden at all. I don't have a sense of feeling for those who don't know you. Create in me that burden. Create in me. And as you're praying, we'll make a prayer point and we mean it. If you haven't yet known the witness that you are in Christ, you don't have it. Father, mother, young person, please ask him, come into my life. You are doing a right thing, you are doing it later, but you are doing it all the same. As we pray, I want to make this call to you. Are you here this morning? You haven't, by any account, been able to even speak to a soul this year. You haven't been able to win a soul across to the Lord. You don't have burden. You have so many excuses that have kept you back. Can you just stand where you are? We want to pray. I've made simple appeal. And if you know what is holding you back, just let God deal with it this morning. You haven't won a soul this year at all. None to your account. You have reasons, you have excuses that keep you back. You've never been able to get through. You don't feel a burden for those who are going to perish. Please stand where you are. We're going to pray. Thank God for you who are sincere. You haven't won a soul. You're still alive. Thank God. That's why he's speaking to you this way. Please stand. Let's speak of God. Let's plead with him. Let's plead with him. You don't really need to be obdurate when God is speaking about real issues that matter. That will be to your benefit. God, I have not won a soul. Clearly so. That's my audit of myself. Please stand. God, I've had many reasons why I've not been able to just reach out to others. Please stand. Let's pray together. We want to have God's mercy. Knowing God's mercies, we persuade men. We persuade men. We persuade women. Knowing the blessings of God, we persuade men and women too. We persuade them. You don't have burden. It just doesn't strike you. You can talk every other thing. Salvation, finding Jesus, doesn't come into your vocabulary. Please stand. Let's plead with God. Let's ask Him. He is abundantly merciful. He will pardon. But He says, let not the man go back to his folly again. Let him repent and let there be a joy. Are you still struggling on your seat? We want to pray. And this prayer is a simple prayer. Please obey God. That will be a first step to going. That will be a first step to going. In the name of Jesus we pray. Heavenly Father, with our sincerity we stand. We stand before you. We stand clearly knowing ourselves. We stand knowing where we stand before heaven. We stand knowing and seeing that there is no account for heaven to rejoice over our head. We stand knowing that for the past 6 months or more, Lord, we have not had any cause to excite heaven. We have not had any cause to pull somebody from perishing. We have not had a burden. We have had excuses. Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus. Almighty God, I pray that for every one of us who is here, Lord, sincerely standing and admitting our failure, King of glory, in our weaknesses, pull in your strength in the name of Jesus. Father, in our efforts not to try, put in the strength to do in the name of Jesus. Lord, in our excuses that have kept us busy, Lord, plant a burden that will keep us restless until we become harbingers of welcoming you to where you want to come in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we break the power of every reason, every excuse, every habit that we have given before now. Lord Almighty, we make them no more have a hold on us in the name of Jesus. We loosen their grip upon us. And we owe our allegiance unto you, Jesus. And we ask you, put us on fire. Give us the burden that does not quench. Put the compassion that, like Paul, we will say we wish we were accursed for our friends, for our relatives, because they have a zeal towards God. And yet they do not know the righteousness of God. Father, this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, impact us anew in the name of Jesus. Send us our going, send us our speaking, send us our harvesting in the name of Jesus. Receive the glory as we see your hands made manifest upon our lives. In so doing, in Jesus' name we pray. Can you tell him I want to be a laborer? I want to start now. I want the love of Christ shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost to reach out. I no longer want to hold it. My lips are untied. My legs are willing to go. My hands are stretched out. My heart is enlarged. My eyes see the need. Lord, the people whom you have sent me to, where you will come, I'm ready to be a messenger. Thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Heavenly Father, here we are. We make a covenant with you, Father, that we will go in the name of Jesus, that we will speak in the name of Jesus, that we will harvest in the name of Jesus. The most natural lifestyle for anyone who is in Christ is to flow out to another, to share your joy. Lord, whatever has made it difficult for us to be able to share life, hope, freedom, liberty to others, we break that yoke in the name of Jesus. We set ourselves loose. We meet the expectation of heaven to bear much more fruit, to harvest the plenteous fruit that are ready, and Lord, to give you joy in heaven and to see your signs follow us and your presence in our lives evermore in the name of Jesus Christ. Old or young, male or female, working or free, student or otherwise, Almighty God, we go. We go with your word. We go to tell them. We go with a heart filled with love. We go saving the perishing. We go speaking the message of salvation. We go uncomfortable with the lifestyle of many around us in our streets, in our living places, Spirit of God, do the work and harvest them by yourself in the name of Jesus. Thank you. As we go, may your signs follow us in the name of Jesus. May the signs follow in the name of Jesus. May your presence be there all the time in the name of Jesus. This second half of the year, as we go speaking, as we go seeking, as we go where you send us, may we experience your blessing in more ways than we had ever known before in every area of our life in the name of Jesus. King of glory, you started that passage in Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35, you went everywhere preaching the kingdom of God, healing all that were sick and every disease. Right now, God, by your mercy, I ask every infirmity here that is a hindrance, every sickness here that has a name, ordinarily, physically, spiritually, whether it has a name by any other means in the mind, Father, your spirit is present here. The spirit to heal is present here. And Lord, we receive our healing in the name of Jesus. You anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good, teaching the kingdom, preaching, and Lord, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For your presence was with him. Your presence is here. Your unction is here. The power to heal is here. Almighty God, as you set us free, we shall be free to preach. We shall be free to speak. We shall be free to go. We shall be free to obey. Thank you. Be healed by the power of God made manifest here in the name of Jesus. Be healed, all whole, in the name of Jesus. Be healed in body. Be healed in mind. Be healed in the spirit. Lord, that which you heal does not return again in the name of Jesus. Make manifest your power. And let the glory and fame spread far in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we put our hands on the plow, those are the things that make us distracted. Keep us busy. Make us give excuses. You know we have need of them. In this second half of the year, Lord, as we have a primary objective, keeping the main thing, speaking, witnessing to your love, being motivated and having compassion for those who are lost. As we engage in it, as we have sought your kingdom, as we seek the righteousness in the lives of others, Father, may we see additions of these in our lives in the name of Jesus. We will not hear the sound of rain nor the sound of wind. The trenches of our knees will suddenly be filled with the water of supply from heaven in the name of Jesus. We shall testify of your grace and mercy. And the fame and glory will spread of you. Thank you, Lord. Be thou exalted, worshipped and magnified. As you put a fire in us, that heaven will continually rejoice on our account. And send blessings and answers. And quicken us on the race to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray.